do actors come to you when they're thinking about joining the MCU and saying, like, what am I getting myself into?
Some do. I've had some people ask about it.
What do you say? What's the stock kind of like?
Do you really want to?
I mean, of course I do.
I say, just give them one.
Leave some space for yourself.
No, yeah, just give them one. That's what I say.
Prepare your ears, humans. Happy, Sad, Confused begins now.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. I'm Josh Horowitz. Thanks as always for watching or listening, however you're consuming this. My guest today, she loves true crime, dark magic, and cooking.
Yes, I do. Sure.
Three for three?
Yeah.
It's Lizzie
Olsen.
That's
how I describe myself.
Did I miss anything? Anything on the resume we should add?
No, that's not. I was going to say... No, it's going to make a bad joke.
I would regret it.
Regret it, and then I'm like, why? Let's not do that.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole already. Remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss this amazing conversation with returning champion Elizabeth Olsen. It's been. Do you know how long it's been since the full fledged podcast has been in your orbit? You and I.
No.
2015 was our last like in depth soul searching conversation, Lizzie.
Oh my gosh.
I listened back.
I have no idea what happened to me.
You mean just metaphorically or literally? Or?
No, I mean like I don't even know what was happening in my life in 2015.
Let me tell you, I will fill you in.
Oh, cool. That's fun.
I listened back. You were promoting something, the last True Life story you did, which was Age of Ultron,
yes.
Obviously.
Yeah, of course.
You were also marveling at the fact it was, you were in New York in my office at anonymity. Like, yeah, no one recognizes me. I'm in Central Park.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Has that changed?
Yeah, that's changed. Changed real fast with WandaVision.
It happened kind of overnight. You felt it relatively.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't overnight. It definitely was a gradual thing the more I was in Marvel stuff, the longer I was in them. And I think WandaVision reached a different larger, because I feel like the Marvel fans are pretty large, but I think because I was more front and center or something, where I'm usually part of an ensemble. And so that shifted. Yes, anonymity shifted. I literally just ended a conversation right before talking to you where I was like, I miss that.
Yeah. Well, of course. Do you find yourself, are the conversations, like, do you find people want to engage with you on, not arguments, maybe that's too strong a word, but discussions about Wanda, for instance? They have takes?
No, I think that it's more just, there's this, I remember being in the back of a New York taxi cab. What's his name? Sandy.
Oh, yeah. The film critic, Sandy Kenyon.
Yes. And he was interviewing Michael Shannon. And he asked him about, like, what the worst thing is that people say to him. And it's, are you an actor? Are you that guy in that movie? And I was like, why is that such a big deal? Because they, like, can't remember what you're in. But I understand what he means. It's kind of like, oh, wait, am I supposed to now explain to you why you think you might know me?
Right.
There's that's awkward, because then you're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm either like, oh, no, we've never met before. I say that a lot.
Right.
Or if I'm grocery shopping and they ask, or, like, if it comes up, like, are you so-and-so? Sometimes I just lie. And other times you just smile and you just say, oh, thank you. Nice to meet you. What's your name? And then that's it. None of it's offensive. None of it's bad. It's just you're not blending into crowds, which is how I prefer to see the world.
Right.
Yeah.
And looking back, so considering that conversation way back when, do you feel like, I don't know, were you overly optimistic that things weren't going to change? Did you know things in your heart of hearts were going to change? Or did you feel like just the nature of the kind of projects you were going to gravitate towards outside of Marvel that, yeah, I mean, I'm going to be able to just do my thing and it's going to be...
Well, I still think it's going to change back, because I just think people's attention spans are so short.
Yeah.
And I just, everyone's going to forget that I was in any of these things. And in a couple years, I'll be having, or five, whenever, how much time has it been? It's been too long. It's been 9 years. Hopefully it'll be sooner than that. But in like 5 years or 2 years, I'll be like, oh yeah, nah, no one cares at all anymore. I'm blending into walls just the way I like it. Okay, so I think it will revert back in some way, because it just will.
So, okay, so before we get into to Love and Death, I do want to reminisce about another point, which is we've had some fun times shooting not only interviews over the years, but sketches.
Yes.
And one of them, I don't know if we've ever had the debrief on this, but one was with Aubrey.
Yes, it was.
Aubrey Plaza, one of my favorites.
Yes, mine too.
Human being and sketches. And it was for Ingrid Goes West, another favorite.
That was a fun one.
Obsessed. And as you may or may not recall, in that sketch, there is a line where you are kind of, the joke is you are ruining the end of Avengers, and you say, everybody dies.
And then Thanos is like, give me the Infinity Gauntlet, and Scarlet Witch is like, I don't think so.
Whoa. Tell me you did not just ruin the ending of Infinity War.
No, because everyone dies.
Ugh. Lizzie.
I thought everyone knew that.
Now, this was shot, chronologically speaking, a year before Infinity War came out.
Oh, so I probably shot it.
Yes. This is, I wrote that line for you. You didn't seem to bat an eye. I'm curious, can you recall any hesitation? Like, oh, this is going to get me into deep shit. I'm ruining the end of this movie, essentially, a year before it comes out.
No, I think I thought, like, oh, people aren't going to think this is the ending because I'm saying it in a sketch. Like, this is really, like, I don't know, what's it called when you get them off your trail?
Right.
That's what I felt like I was, I think that maybe that was the thought I had. That might be giving myself too much credit if I thought about it at all, which there's a potential I didn't.
It's really funny because, yeah, after it came out,
everybody dies.
After it came out, it starts to resurface in my social media feeds where people would be like, oh my God, she ruined the movie. We now realize she ruined the movie
Wow.
a year ago.
You know what? It's fascinating. People talk about, like, I don't know. When I say people, I mean other actors have always made jokes about, you know, there's like S.H.I.E.L.D. or Kevin Feige will like come out and get mad at you or you'll be reprimanded. I have a feeling I've ruined multiple things many times and no one's ever talked to me about it. So I think it's fine.
On the scale of on the Ruffalo scale, as we call it, you're still fine.
Yeah. But I think Ruffalo does it as a bit.
Yeah, now it's a bit. Maybe, yeah. I don't think it originally was a bit,
you
probably.
Don't.
Now
okay.
He's playing into it.
Okay. I mean, he's a pretty clever, funny guy, so it might have always been a bit. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to, like, take that away from him if it was authentic.
Let's talk about your amazing new limited series.
Yeah.
Love and Death. It's fantastic.
Thanks.
You, Jesse Plemons, who I absolutely adore.
Yeah, me
Lily
too.
Rabe, Patrick Fugit.
Yeah, Pat's so good.
Amazing.
He's so good in this show.
So this is, what should, okay, this is always the debate. What should folks know going in, you think?
I think don't
Google Wikipedia the whole story.
Well, yeah, don't do that. But also, like, go in not thinking that you're about to watch, like, a true crime drama or something. That's not really what we're doing. It's not really, our show's more of, like, a profile on the mentality of people in this town during this time. And the character I play is, in a way, progressive because she really lives by what she projects into the world.
Right.
Or onto the world. Like, she really is about externals, as we have become as a society, where it's a lot of presentational. We are able to control how we present ourselves to the world. And that is an important factor in this woman's life.
And this is Candy Montgomery.
Yes.
Who... So this is, the setting is the late 70s,
yes.
Texas.
Thank you. You're doing, thank you. I'm
trying
sorry.
To help her along. It's on the max, as they call it, as the kids call it now.
HBO Max. HBO Max. Still HBO Max.
Oh, it's still HBO Max?
Still HBO
as of
Max.
Today? Okay.
Well, I think I don't know when they're making that shift, but on my it's called a television at home.
The tube. Yeah.
It says HBO Max.
Right. So you're
in order
with that.
To get
you
to
signed
show.
On to HBO Max. You didn't sign up for this Max crap.
No, and no one's told me that we need to start talking about Max. Okay. So I feel like it's HBO Max until sometime in May, right, Marla? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Fair
so
enough.
I think we're still safe calling it HBO Max.
We got through that. Okay. What were we saying? Okay.
Oh,
so late 70s, Texas.
Yeah.
And yes, Candy.
Silicon Prairie.
What I think is interesting is, yeah, as you allude to, she is someone that wants more. She
yes.
wants more out of life and
yes.
doesn't necessarily have the tools or the right ideas of how to
yes.
go about it.
Yes, she has a very romanticized vision of what that could be. And one of the romanticized visions is a big old affair, romantic affair. And that is something that she seeks out actively.
Methodically, very directly,
which you gotta, you know, you gotta respect that directness. I certainly do.
I was gonna say, did in your dating life, did you have that kind of directness? Like, I would like to date you now.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we did that though, and we were like, and I want to stop. Right. Like, I know we're trying to be kind to each other, but instead of us like ignoring each other, let's just agree to stop.
The passive aggressive quiet.
Yeah, the ghosting, yes, as they say,
as the kids say. Yeah.
As Ana de Armas and Chris Evans say.
We're promoting that too. Apple TV Plus. Check it out. Team player.
Didn't even know where you could see it, but that's where I guess you can see it. So she propositions Jesse Plemons' character, Alan Gore, with an affair. And it ends up being a very different kind of affair than you could imagine. It becomes more of a friendship, which might actually be more dangerous than a physical affair, some may argue, because there's a lot of intimacy that they're getting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. From each other that they don't get from their partners in their lives. And that affair then leads to a murder.
Yeah. So, and this, this is inspired by true events based on
yes.
And obviously, but there's humor in this as well.
Yes.
And yet you're also dealing with some, with murder, with some yes. horrible situations.
Yes. We're trying to embrace these absurd circumstances and situations that these interesting characters find themselves in, with hopefully not completely letting people off the hook of the fact that there was actually a death that affected multiple families that are around today.
We mentioned the actors. Friday Night Lights fan, Jesse Plemons. Have you watched it?
I watched a couple episodes when I was in Texas, just because I was curious where like Baby Plemons started. But yeah, and I felt like I had to really commit to a lot of hours if I were to
it's a lot.
Watch
That's
it.
Like an 80-hour commitment, I know.
Yeah, so I just, you know, watched a couple, and I was, and it was also, I just loved the way it was shot. It just felt so of its time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this like handheld television
kind of thing. Yeah.
thing. I totally got what they were doing with it, and it was fun to watch it. Now, as opposed to when it was happening,
the milieu is really fascinating because, like, we get to see you in these contexts that I've never seen you in before. Volleyball. I don't know if that's been a part of your life.
Huge part of my life. I was on a traveling team when I was
Seriously?
Younger. Yeah, age 11 to 14.
Oh, so this must have brought it all back.
Yeah, it was really fun to get to play volleyball. I had so much fun.
Were you very competitive as a kid?
I was very competitive. Yeah, I was very, very competitive. I even had like a private coach at one point. I was a starting varsity setter when I was a freshman.
Okay.
And we won league.
All right.
I don't even know what that means anymore.
It sounds impressive.
We won the league we were in.
What's your outlet, your athletic outlet now? Are you a pickleball player?
Oh my God, I've only done it twice. What a fun game. I'm really late to it.
I want to play.
Oh, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's a great time. Yeah. I started playing with my little sister and her boyfriend, and it's so much fun. Really, I highly recommend it. Not like they need the endorsement from me.
No, they're the hottest thing right now.
But that was fun. How do I let out my physical? I mean, I work out a lot because I think it's fun.
That's a whole nother conversation that I can't get behind, but okay. You think it's fun to work out just generally?
I think it's just because I played sports and dance my whole life.
Got it.
And I think when I went to college and became an inanimate object, I was like starting to get, I started to get depressed. My mom was like, well, Lizzie, are you exercising? And she was right. I wasn't. And it makes you feel good. You know what? Those endorphins are real.
How close an impression is that to your mom, her voice?
I mean, she's usually a higher pitch voice than that.
Really?
Yeah, she's a very, very fun voicemail person. Like, I love listening to her voicemails.
What are her typical?
Hi, Lizard, it's your mom. Like, that's what she sounds like, but I think higher.
Lizard.
Yeah.
That's
and
from
it's
childhood?
All, every voicemail starts with, hi, Lizard, it's your mom.
Did everybody call you Lizard growing up or just mom?
Family and best friend, yeah, called me Lizard. And now Robbie sometimes calls me Lizard, my husband. Yeah, so when I was in Godzilla, my birthday cake was a lizard.
Perfect.
Yep.
We were talking before we started. I now have, by dint of research, I know you are not necessarily the biggest fan of roller coasters, thanks to the great Colbert interview you did. there is a sequence that, yes, jumped out at me like, oh, this is... It's always a fun thing to talk about, like, how do you act while you're in that kind of circumstance?
I couldn't act while I was in it.
It was just survival.
It was only when we started going in reverse, where you can, like, it's a 2-minute video. When we start going in reverse, I start trying to pretend, like, put candy back on. But I'm, like, talking manically to Jesse the entire time. So it's not even usable because we're filming a montage. We're not supposed to be talking.
So, okay, I want to just dive in a little deeper. Do you fear death? Do you just fear nausea? Physical, intellectual torture? What is the problem?
So when I was younger, I had a theory that my friends don't want to be on a roller coaster that I'm on because that's the moment. I had just this idea. I don't like things that go fast.
Okay.
I don't like this idea of, I don't like adrenaline rushes.
Okay.
So I'm, you know, if someone's driving too fast in a car, like I tell drivers, you know what, you can slow down. I don't like getting places quickly. Like, we're good.
Lateness is kind of my thing.
I rather get
live
there
and be
than
late.
Die.
Exactly.
And so I do have a fear of accidents, yeah. I guess, with fast things.
Yeah.
I do know where that comes from, but I will not be sharing that in a public forum. But it does come from something when I was a little girl that didn't happen to me, but that happened to others.
Okay.
And so it's just ingrained in me.
Got it.
Safety first. And I didn't find roller coasters to be safe. So when I would go to whatever they're called, amusement parks with my friends, I would always just wait in line and just like then walk on and walk off and like wave goodbye. And then I would sometimes they'd be like, oh, you got to go on this one. I'll be like, okay, I am. And then I would just walk on and walk off and they'd be like, oh, Lizzie, like,
Lizard did it again.
And it just was something that I did not feel safe doing.
Right.
And there's just a part of me that thinks it's the way I'm going to die. I don't know. And so it was really embarrassing. And it wasn't, I sang before we started filming, like I wasn't trying to play into the dramatics or the attention or whatever, but like I just started crying before we had to shoot this stupid montage, like a few frames of the whole show. And it was monstrous in my mind. And it was really embarrassing. And now it's funny.
Now,
it was embarrassing.
Now at least it's a good talk show story.
Yeah.
Which is all that matters in the
end. Which is all that matters. It's always so annoying when they're like, anything funny happened on set that you can show us? Any behind the scenes footage? And now I have one.
I'm like, well, I thought I was going to die and I've got tape to show it.
Yeah.
Enjoy, world.
It's helpful.
I assume more enjoyable singing in a car. Are you somebody that enjoys singing?
Love singing in a car.
What's your... anything that's on the radio? What's your go-to?
Anything. I don't even have to know the song. I love singing in a car so much. I love being on a freeway with the windows down. Like I don't even have to be, I can be in traffic. There are so many times I'm in traffic dancing my ass off. And I just wonder if I'll ever see someone who I know and they'll be like, Lizzie, did I just see you dancing? Because I dance my ass off in my car and sing.
While you're driving? How do you dance while driving?
It's like all in your torso. And you just, I mean, it was so fun to get to do those scenes with Candy because like I love singing and dancing in the car.
Is ABBA now more in the repertoire? Or are you...
I could not stop. It did happen, actually. Sorry. Just trying to scare you.
It's okay.
The thing with Candy that was so fun to play is that she has so much energy. And so when it was like 3:45 in the morning and I'm driving to set and I would be tired, I would play some ABBA and just... or even not just ABBA, I'd play like Sharon Van Etten or whatever. I was just like playing songs that like got me going and got me excited. And I think I was probably listening to 17 or something like that, or the one she has with Angel Olsen, and driving to work on one of these like narrow dirt roads in the 45 minute or hour drive or something in with no traffic. It was just, we drove to the furthest places and got to set, and our camera AC, told our DP, instead of telling me, which she totally could have, that she saw me dancing in the car to work, that I was behind her and I was like jamming out. And so he asked me if that was true. And I was like, oh my God, every morning is that true? Especially playing Candy, I have to have good energy.
This is your entry point to Mamma Mia 3, the inevitable end of the trilogy.
Yes. Yes. I play Lily James's mother this time.
Have you, you've, look, I know you loved musical theater growing up.
I did. I loved it.
So you haven't really gotten to embrace that side of yourself too much. I mean, you've sung in film before a little bit.
Yes.
But
badly.
Well.
On purpose. But also it was the best I could do.
But you'd probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth, want to sing well and to the utmost ability. Well, yeah. That's on the list still?
Oh, I don't take lessons, but I've been thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you gone up for musicals?
No, never.
Really?
Never. Except, I mean, not since high school.
That's kind of surprising. Should it be? Should I be surprised?
No. I was told that I sang flat starting when I was 12, and that kind of hurt. And then when I went to conservatory school in Russia, we had to sing.
Right.
And that was, there was like a big emotional block to get me to do that in front of people because of being 12. But it was really freeing to be able to do that in a class, honestly.
Who do you think is a bigger musical theater nut, you or Chris Evans?
Oh, definitely not me. Definitely Chris Evans.
Really?
Yeah. I really just know like the classic movies and the ones I was in. I don't really know anything about anything else.
Have you sung with him? Have you had karaoke? Have you done anything?
No.
Okay. Are you a karaoke-er?
No.
Me neither. Never done it.
Not into that at all.
I can't do it publicly.
All.
Yeah.
I don't. I
just in your box, in your car, you'll do it, but not.
Yeah, no, it's not for anyone, you know. it's for really her. For me.
Yeah.
I think I feel eyes on me enough. I don't need to add. I don't need to put myself in that position.
Hey guys, I am so excited to talk about our sponsor this week. It's HelloFresh. You know HelloFresh. You get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You can skip trips to the grocery store. You can count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, affordable, and yes, actually fun. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Plus, it's more than just those delicious dinners. You can pick from over 40 weekly recipes, and you can choose from over 100 items to round out that order. Snacks, easy lunches, desserts, pantry necessities. It all arrives together in one box on the delivery day of your choosing. Plus, it's all about quality, guys. That's why their seasonal ingredients are picked at peak ripeness. And they travel from the farm to your home in less than 7 days, so you know they're fresh. I know this from experience, guys. Just the other night, we made beef flautas. They were delicious. They were seasonal. They were fresh, and they were easy to make. And most important, they were delicious. So go to HelloFresh.com/HSC16 and use the code HSC16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. Again, that's go to HelloFresh.com/HSC16. Use that code HSC16 for those 16 free meals and free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. So again, going down memory lane, looking at the math.
Yes,
I think we're
basically
we're basically happy 10 years of Marvel almost.
You've, oh yeah,
you were cast basically around 10 years ago this year.
Yeah,
a little later in the year in 2013.
Wow,
I believe.
Wow, weird.
And I know you've talked about this.
I think I filmed it when I was 25, and I'm 34 now.
There you go.
Math.
So, I know from our past conversations. It still boggles you, like, how long this has run and just the different iterations.
Shocked.
Right.
Yes. Shocked. I signed on for, like, a thing and a half. I don't.
It was funny. One of the things that, again, I listened to that early conversation we had promoting Age of Ultron. You talked about being cast by Joss and mm-hmm. him saying to you, just don't Google the character.
Yes.
Look at how you're going to be dressed because you're not going to ever be dressed like that.
And then I was. And then I got to be. And I wanted to be.
By then, you had come around to, like, okay, if we're doing it in this way, this makes sense.
Yes.
And I can have fun
with
it.
And then I got to be in the tights and the leotard. And it was one of my favorite costumes. It really gave me so much joy. And also seeing Paul in his little getup was so cute.
Did WandaVision lead to any actual sitcom offers?
No, but I understand why people like filming sitcoms now, because they're the most joyful things you can do.
Because of, you get kind of the theater buzz, like the reaction.
Yeah,
the
you get that, but it's also you are a physical fool and you're trying to make each other laugh. It's just really fun.
So,
it's like the the ham that you were as a child on stage for your parents or something right. in your backyard. That it's like you get to be that person.
Yes.
You get to embrace that person.
And with more bells and whistles and all that kind of fun stuff. Yes. Any more thoughts, speaking of that kind of environment, of going back to theater more?
I know. Oh, gosh, I want to so badly.
It's been a while.
Yeah, right? It's been a really long time. And the experience I had last time was not a good one. And so I really need it for myself. And doing WandaVision and doing Love and Death made me feel really good in my physical body as an actor. And I feel like the best thing to do for that is theater. And I need it. I'm literally, I planned a vacation for myself at the end of this press run to just go see a lot of theater by myself.
I've been on a run the last couple of weeks in New York. I've been seeing a lot.
It's so it's the best. Nurturing. Yeah. And so, yes, I want that so much.
So, okay, so we were talking WandaVision. You basically went from WandaVision almost without a rest into
Doctor Strange. It was like I had 2 days to pack. So, not like I had 2 days to pack being, and traveled on the third.
So, look, WandaVision experience, amazing. And then Doctor Strange, like, we know those films often are fluid. And mm-hmm. it seems like this one was a bit fluid. Like,
so fluid.
So was that a little bit of, I don't know, how did you manage it? Did it feel...
The way I managed it is I shot what they told me to do, and I did it. And then I went off and filmed Love and Death while they
kind of
filmed
decide what
the rest of the movie without me. And so then I, like, did my voiceover work to make everything that I'd already done on camera make sense. That's how we did Doctor Strange.
How much did...
That's how the cookie crumbles.
How much
That's
did...
That's how the pie is made or whatever.
All the cooking metaphors. How much did what I saw of Doctor Strange resemble the initial script you saw of Doctor Strange?
It resembled more than I thought it was going to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely moments where... I there's a point in making the movie where I just stopped reading drafts. I was like, this is just going to change again. Can right. you just keep
point me towards
just
the camera?
Keep me
what do you
posted
mean to do?
With the information yeah. I need, and you guys fill in the blanks that you need. But yeah. I'll just keep my lane.
Am I good or evil today? What do yeah. you do?
That one was a wild ride.
Are you protective of that character? Because obviously, you know, she's the villain of that piece.
Yeah, I am. I am protective of her. And in a way, I'm trying to make sure that our fans don't have to watch the same thing multiple times. Like, I try and keep it interesting for them and try and at least, if something seems similar thematically, at least try and, like, find a different angle into it or a different way to explore it so that it doesn't just become repetitive for them.
Right.
Yeah.
One more question about the specifics of that filming. And I think you've alluded to this before, but the sequence where you basically decimate all these, like, alternate Earth characters, you know, like Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yes.
And Krasinski.
That sequence, yes.
Did you know who you were murdering?
It changed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when I was on that lie detector test
for
Vanity Fair.
About John Krasinski, I think it was the question, right?
So I didn't understand that the character he played in the movie was the smartest man on the earth or something.
Right, Reed Richards.
And they said, is this the smartest man on earth? And I just didn't understand why they would say that.
This is what we call plausible deniability. This is good to know a little less. Yes.
And I was, I wasn't even like, I'm really good at, like, hiding a lie. Like, I had no idea why they were asking me that question.
Right.
And I also didn't shoot with him. But I knew he was going to be in it.
Right.
But he wasn't there when I was there.
Yeah, because I did the Daniel Craig, of all people, did the podcast a few months back.
Yeah.
And I asked him about playing Baldur the Brave, which apparently was in the
That's
offer.
What I thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's Daniel Craig? I signed up for Daniel Craig
I
today.
I saw the art.
What made cool?
They made a costume. They had a design.
Fluid. Marvel, that's
Fluid.
Just how the way
yeah.
they roll.
Yeah.
It's okay.
What did he say?
He kind of just stared at me and said, I don't know what you're talking about, but,
oh, okay.
You know.
Okay. Well, shoot. I should have done that.
No, I mean, that's okay. I mean,
God, I'm so bad at this thing.
It's okay.
I'm like an open book. It's horrible.
It's okay. Classic Ruffalo. Classic Lizzie. So they are shooting, or maybe have already wrapped, I don't even know, the Agatha show, Catherine Hahn.
I'm not sure if they're finished yet.
Did Aubrey come to you? Like, do actors come to you when they're thinking about joining the MCU and saying, like, what am I getting myself into?
Some do. I've had some people ask about it.
What do you say? What's the stock kind of like?
Do you really want it?
I mean, of course I do.
I say, just give them one.
Leave some space for yourself.
No, yeah, just give them one. That's what I say.
Yeah. Meaning like one project.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a commitment. And
yeah. And I think that way that you have more control over if, you know, if you, let's say you're like, oh my God, this was the most fun I've ever had. And I love this character so much. I want to do it again. You now have more creative control for the next one. If,
it makes sense.
You know,
yes.
Don't tell.
No,
don't tell Galuzzi that. Business affairs at Marvel.
Well, like, yeah, and I'm not asking you for info on this because this is just a rumor floating around right now. But for instance, speaking of the world's smartest man, the rumor is that Adam Driver is going to play that character.
What?
I know, which would be insane.
Wait, but why did John do it?
Well, John,
I think, because different multiverses?
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. So anyone can still play it.
I understand now.
So whether that happens or not, what I'm fascinated by is like from Adam Driver's perspective, who can work with anyone.
Yeah.
And like, is he going to sign for 9 movies? Adam Driver? Like that seems.
How many kids does he have?
Yeah, I think he has a couple.
Okay.
That's all. Oh, you think college, college tuition? He's doing fine, I'm sure.
He's fine. I think he's okay. Doing fine.
Do you. Okay. So beyond Marvel, because you've had a run, and it sounds like it'll probably continue in some form. I know you're not going to tell me anything, but...
Nor do I know anything.
I know.
Genuinely.
Is there a need, like, at this point in the career to, like, sign on to another ongoing thing?
Oh, gosh, no.
No, and if anything, it's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like I see my past, and I see a road over here and a road over here, and I've been traveling down this road, and now I'm trying to like make a left-hand turn a bit.
Just kind of steer back.
Steer back a little bit, yeah.
But I mean, looking back, I feel like you've managed it pretty damn well and kind of.
I think I've tried to find my grounding along the way, but I do think that when I started having job opportunities where it wasn't me just like auditioning for literally everything and anything, because I also kind of enjoy doing that. I didn't really understand how to say no to projects or how to decipher whether or not I should do something or not.
Right.
Or hold off for something else. Like I didn't really have a philosophy or a plan. And I still don't really have a plan, but I have more of a philosophy, I guess.
Right.
And that's nice to know, and that's nice to have, and that's good information when I'm looking through projects with that kind of lens and knowledge now.
And less about career calculation, but knowing the kind of story,
yes,
the kind of film, the kind of filmmakers that will make you happy and engaged,
yes,
and inspired.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, it's not about I probably the majority of the outcomes would be like how many people saw that movie, but for me it's I need to explore certain things for myself, I think. And there's just, I really I want to just get back to like filmmaker driven stuff. It's so funny when people are like, do you want to direct? And all I could think about is there are so many better people out there who should be directing. I don't think that's what I should be focusing on.
Well, not to mention that's like 2 or 3 years of your life. And it's like, I'd rather at this point in my career, like work with the best for like 4 different amazing directors in the next 3 years.
Yeah. And there are some filmmakers that I really, right, I have projects that hopefully end up coming together with, because I think they're so talented and they haven't had the opportunity to do narrative fiction or not, I mean, narrative features. And so there's that too. And it's like, these people I think are like amazing and they are about, I want to be a part of that opportunity for them. Not like saying I'm the opportunity, but say I want to be a part of.
See
I want
they
to have
can
the
do
opportunity
with that. Yep.
Of getting to work with them while they get to have so much more.
Well, it's also striking to see sort of like where your career coincided with the evolution of how movies and TV are made.
Because, it's been so bizarre.
Because when we started talking, and when you know were the Sundance Queen,
no
in the beginning,
streaming services did not exist.
But like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And those movies, they don't exist, or they exist, but they're few and far between now, the ones you were making, or they're streamers.
Yeah, or they become something you stream, not really see in a theater. I mean, theaters have closed. I mean, the theaters have closed. I mean, it's really sad. I do think that because of all that, though, I have to hope that because pendulums always have to swing back, that we are getting back to that. I also think that it's harder to make a movie for like a middle budget, and it's actually a little bit easier to figure it out for something smaller.
Right.
And I do think there's going to be some really creative, and there has been. Some really creative filmmaking, like Sanctuary. I fucking loved. Oh, I see
the Margot Qualley.
Yeah, and that's I don't know. I don't know if he built the set, found the set, or just like I don't know if it was a location or if it was the whole thing was a stage. But it's like a. Did you see it?
I haven't seen
it. You haven't seen it. It's contained, and I am like I just think it's contained and it's beautiful. And I'm assuming he like elevated the budget beyond with just being visually very creative, and so. I'm really inspired when I see things like that. And so I hope it just kind of swings back in that way.
Happy, Sad, Confused is all about picking the brains of the best and brightest in the world about their respective crafts. And that's why Masterclass is such a fantastic fit for Happy, Sad, Confused. Masterclass is something I know from experience is a fantastic resource. Over 180 classes at your disposal from a range of world-class instructors. I know from experience. I have learned how to train my dog from the great Brandon McMillan. I have learned acting tips from Samuel L. Jackson that have informed the conducting of this podcast. There is so much opportunity for you with Masterclass. It is accessible on your phone, on the web, on smart TVs, anything you need, a variety of topics, all taught by world-class instructors at the top of their fields. Each class is broken out into individual video lessons, usually around just 10 minutes long. You can learn at your own pace. There are supplemental materials. It is fantastic, guys. I highly recommend you check out Masterclass. You can get unlimited access to every class. And as a Happy, Sad, Confused listener, you get 15% off an annual membership. So go to masterclass.com/HSC now. That's masterclass.com/HSC for 15% off Masterclass today. Do you still audition?
I don't really. The last time I auditioned was because I was trying to convince someone who didn't want to hire me to hire me. And I've never done a self-tape at home before. It was like a COVID thing. It's like now what actors do all the time, yeah. Which sounds awful because I love auditioning in person so much.
Sure.
I didn't even like going to tape at like my agent's office or something. And now that I have to do it, you have to do it. You're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So that was a painful experience. And then the director was also like, no, I'm serious. I didn't want to hire you. So there is that. But that was my last audition.
How did that work out?
Well, I just didn't get it. It's okay. I didn't get it. Okay. That's fine. Okay. The movie did very well.
Okay. Sore point.
Did I see it? No. Did I love the script? Yes.
Can you clear up, speaking of audition thing, because again, another topic we talked about way back when was Star Wars. You were a Star Wars fan growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And
I don't really know what's going on right now with Star Wars, but I still love 4, 5, 6.
I barely do. It's hard. Yeah. But back in the day, you were saying how you'd seen sides of actors that had been like friends that had auditioned. And then there was like a report over the years that you had to pass on auditioning for Force Awakens because of Age of Ultron.
I never had an audition for that.
Okay.
That wasn't even...
in the ether or not timing wise, not the right thing.
But fun rumor.
Good rumor, right?
I bet the internet's filled with them.
So for the reasons we just discussed, though, that would be a vexing kind of question, right? Like the love of Star Wars versus signing on for something that can take up your life for another decade.
Yeah, I don't know if I would do that right now.
Right.
Yeah, it's like even like an ongoing television series, that to me sounds like a hard thing to say yes to, even though I wish Love and Death had a second season because I just had so much fun playing this part, which is, you know, weird, but true.
Do you have a mourning period after a project wraps? Like what's your like kind of go back to reality process generally?
When we wrapped, I think we went straight into press for Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it creeps up on me. I don't know how to like move on. It creeps up on me later that, and it was funny. It was when we were in South by Southwest for the premiere or the like first screening or something, whatever you would call it, of Love and Death, David E. Kelly, afterwards we were having this like little dinner thing. I'm calling it a dinner thing because we were standing, not sitting. So it's like a dinner thing.
It's a dinner. Buffet line?
Where yeah, yeah, kind of. It was like outside and we were standing around. And he asked me if I missed candy. And he was like trying, he was like kind of cheeky when he asked me that. And he knew what I was going to, I mean, I deeply miss playing this part. And there's a big part of me that wishes it was fictional show, because I would love, it is actually a character I'd love to return to.
I noticed something that slipped by me was you had a book out last year. You had a
children's book.
You had a children's
Hattie
book.
Hattie Hermony. Yes.
Which, as I understand it, was one of the goals is about helping kids deal with anxiety.
Yes. It's giving them the emotional language tools for young ages.
Has anxiety been something that you dealt with growing up that you still kind of wrestle
with?
Not
when I was a kid. It just all of a sudden hit me when I was 21 or 22. I just started having panic attacks. And so I never had anxiety. I never had panic attacks, and nor did I know a word for it.
Right.
So I instead, you know, got a CAT scan and got my blood work done and got my heart looked at. And
was this after a specific like moment, like you had?
No, it just happened one dinner.
Oh,
I
wow.
just like literally just came over me, and then it just didn't stop happening.
Yeah.
And so I saw an internist, and it just ended up the internist came in and was like, I think you're just having a case of good old fashioned panic attacks. And he was like this really old man, you know. It's like, what are you talking about? Panic attacks? I don't have that. Like, I don't have anxiety. I didn't have those kinds of things as a kid. It just all of a sudden hit me one day. It was very weird. And I feel like I do have I learned a lot of tools on how to deal with it without medication. Although I think medication is a very helpful tool. I didn't want to be on medication because I was scared of medication.
It's a cascading problem.
So maybe I do have anxiety.
I have anxiety about medication for anxiety.
I'm afraid of everything. I don't like roller coasters. I don't like going fast. I'm going to die. So maybe I did have a lot of anxiety as a child and I just didn't know.
Right. Buried. Not so deep. Should I be worried that I think this is like the first time we've chatted where there's nothing on the upcoming resume.
There's nothing on the upcoming resume. I am so unemployed.
Good for you.
I don't really want to be. It's just that everything fell apart.
I'm at the world or career or life.
My career's falling apart. Oh, no. At the seams.
Oh, well.
No, there was like one thing I was supposed to do and it didn't work out because actor availability. And then there's another thing that was supposed to go through. And then the dates didn't work. And then financing. And it's just a wild world with the strikes about to happen.
Right.
So it's just an odd time, I think, for our industry to make things happen right now.
Fair enough. Well, you can take a breather. You can expand the cooking repertoire.
I'm learning a lot this time off. It's constructive time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do. Let's wrap with the happy, sad, confused, profoundly random questionnaire.
Okay.
Some random questions for you. Dogs or cats, Lizzie?
Dogs.
That's correct. Yeah. What's the wallpaper on your phone?
It's a close-up shot of a black silk fabric.
Maybe you should consider the medication. You should.
It's like a really pretty, like, you know, silk like hits light and it's like, so it's a pretty fabric. So it just looks like a pretty, it's not just black, you know, it's like textured black fabric. Yeah, it's soothing.
Okay. Would you rather have dinner with Vin Diesel or Daniel Day-Lewis?
Daniel Day.
It's the last actor you were mistaken for.
Myself. I don't remember. I don't think I've been mistaken for many other people, besides. Are you an Olsen twin, or girl, or sister, or something? Oh no, people say are you an Olsen sister, and I say, am I a twin? And then I say, no, I'm not a twin.
You're engaging. You're making this a dialogue.
Yeah. Sorry. Short answers.
No, I meant with the person.
Oh,
with
that
person.
Yeah. When they say are you an Olsen sister, it becomes like, I don't know. Is this a trick question? Are you asking me? Do you have an idea of what our first names are? Like, I'm not sure what we're trying to talk about here. But yeah, no, I think that's it, really.
If you were to host the podcast, what would the topic be? Have you considered it?
I would like to, this was something I came up with while we were filming Love and Death, and it was like 2 a.m. and we were filming on the back porch, and I started assuming there was like a really loud party happening in a house next door. Just not even a party. It was like five very drunk people outside being very loud, and our locations department is very good at making sure these people are comfortable when we're shooting. Sure. For them to be quiet.
Yes.
And they didn't want to do that. And so I started guessing the type of drinks that they were having based on their personalities. And I really thought that could be a fun entry point to discussions, is making assumptions about people, which is, you know, something we should definitely do more
always.
Of.
Yeah.
And ascribing a sort of wine or cocktail or drink to them. And then that could maybe open up a conversation where you actually have like winemakers come in and talk about stuff.
Green light.
And it, so I started talking about everyone's, what if everyone were a drink, what they would be that night.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just open this up then briefly. Okay. So what is your alcoholic, what's your adult beverage of choice? What defines you?
It depends really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really depends. Sometimes it could just be some wine, but I'm very picky about my wine.
Okay.
And then if I'm feeling fun, and I have to be careful because you don't want to be too much fun, because no, then you stop being fun.
Yeah, yeah. Tipping point.
I like vodka martinis.
Okay.
And I like mezcal sours.
Wow, mezcal sours?
Yeah, with the egg white.
I made a horrible decision about a decade ago of having a shot of mezcal, which should not be ever done in a
shot form.
Anytime
anyone has ever given me a shot since college, I sip it.
You're mature. You're smart. This is the right call.
I've never understood. I just learned recently about icing.
I don't know.
I'm
an old man.
Do you know what Smirnoff ice is?
Oh, yeah.
It's when you find one, and apparently, when you find one, you're supposed to get on your knee and chug it.
No.
And they're like, it's been a thing for 10 years. And I was like, first off, didn't know. They're like, have you never watched television? It's all over commercials. Never seen a commercial where this happens to someone. And also, who said, like, and why would I have to?
No.
And someone tried to ice me. And they were like, you have to drink it now. And I was like, in what world would I have to do anything?
I have free will. I'm a grown woman.
So you don't know about this either.
No, but I'm 75 years old.
Me too.
I don't. In the spirit of happy, sad, confused, what actor makes you happy?
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, gosh. She just iced. She's just.
An actor that makes me happy. Oh, gosh.
They pop up on screen. I'm in for a treat. I'm going to.
They pop up on screen. I'm like, ooh, I got to watch this. Diane Keaton?
Yeah, she came up recently. Someone else actually said that. Yeah.
Yeah, she makes me happy. Even when she cried, she makes me laugh.
Movie that makes you sad?
What's a movie that makes me sad? The Way We Were every time.
Yeah?
I really lose it every time in that movie.
Yeah. And finally, a food that makes you confused.
Innards.
Just generally innards of anything, like the intestinal tract,
I think that's a weird choice.
Yeah.
And apparently it's a delicacy.
Delicacy, right, well.
But that is confusing to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to know what's going on inside people's intestines, nor do I want to eat it.
People's intestines. That's a really confusing cannibalism. Very confusing, according to Lizzie.
But I mean, but like really?
Yeah.
What animal's intestines is it? Is it a cow's?
Cow, probably, I would think, yeah.
I don't want to know about it.
No. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. congratulations on the new limited series. It's not on Max. It's on the HBO Max.
HBO Max.
Everybody check it out. Love and Death. It's fantastic work from the great Lizzie Olson. And it's a, too insane to be believed story that is actually true. Don't read it at all.
Don't read the whole thing.
Just watch it. We gave him the tease, right? We gave him enough.
Yes.
All right. We're going to go hit an amusement park and have some innards right now.
Yeah. Disgusting. sounds awful. Combination.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thank you for having me after all these years.
Oh, finally.
Cool.
We did it.
Wow, I can't believe you did this in 2015.
Isn't that crazy?
That's very crazy. Life has changed.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.